Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 576. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, we are officially into Pride Month. Happy Pride, everyone. It's been a long time since I've been talking to people on the airwaves and whatnot. I believe it's almost been 15 years, if that is even humanly possible, at my ripe age of starting this whole career at the age of 10. But anyhow, I'm very proud to be a part of this community. And it's really amazing, you know, to see how things have grown. I've had so many conversations in recent weeks even about some nostalgia around how it was for us 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where standing out and being proud and being gay was something that turned heads, was something that captured attention, definitely within our own community. I just remember the vital times when our guest today, the theater company About Face Theater, I remember when it launched onto the scene and became the nation's largest and probably one of the first, if not the first, GLBT theater companies in the United States. And I remember at that time thinking, wow, you know, the youth theater at About Face and even the main stage theater, it was so shocking and impressive that I lived in a city that had a full facility for LGBT people to tell their stories, and especially LGBT young people to tell their stories. When you heard a 13-year-old kid step forward and say, I'm gay, or I'm lesbian, or I'm bisexual, or I'm transgender, it literally sent a hush and a silence throughout crowds and audiences, and people flocked to see this kind of work because it was so pioneering. It was so unique. It was so unusual. It arrested you. It stopped you in your tracks. And nowadays, we see other companies, theater companies and artistic organizations telling our stories. In the mainstream, we have television shows like Modern Family and Ellen DeGeneres on the TV every day. And we come to this time in a month where HBO, the company that brought us and the band played on, airs on HBO, The Normal Heart, finally, Larry Kramer's pretty much the seminal play, AIDS play of the theatrical world, which experienced great revivals a couple of years on Broadway. Timeline Theater did a production here this fall, and now HBO, with an all-star cast, gay and straight, bring The Normal Heart to audiences on HBO. And I'm watching this past week into the wee hours of the morning one night. And I'm sitting there thinking more people will see The Normal Heart in the first week of HBO reruns than probably have ever seen an About Face show in its totality and ever seen The Normal Heart performed anywhere. And, you know, and it's just, it's shocking now the kind of mass reach we have as a community. And I think we're seeing it, right? We're heading into Gay Pride. And as of today, when this podcast goes out, everyone in Illinois can get married across this great state. And many other states across the United States now have marriage equality for gay and lesbian people. And we are hearing in our news week after week, and you will hear more of it today, more and more and more states that are in the courts determining the unconstitutionality of not allowing two people, two legal adults, legal of age adults, to get married, whether gay, lesbian, bisexual, straight, male and male, female and female, female and male. And so it's really an interesting time. I feel like we're in a shift, folks, and that it's all going to come back over on the other side. And, you know, I think it was just watching The Normal Heart. You know, I saw the play in the fall. I've seen the play before, but something about this moment, you know, this moment where, you know, things are changing, and I am hopeful that we will find a cure for HIV and AIDS. Obviously, we found a sustainability with HIV and AIDS, though not an easy road for men and women who are living day to day with HIV AIDS. But, you know, maybe we will. I heard really loudly, you know, the character of the doctor played by Julia Roberts say, you know, no one gets polio anymore. And, you know, and that was 25 short years from when she would have contracted it in the story as a young girl. And, you know, obviously we're 25, 30 years past the outbreak of AIDS. And we still don't have a cure. And I also think about that. What does that mean? And in the pharmaceutical world and in the medical world, when new things are, new drugs are obviously making lots of money, keeping people alive one day at a time, one pill at a time, and also now trying to prevent the spread of HIV AIDS. And it would be costly to cure HIV and AIDS, meaning there is a lot of money to be made on people living with this disease. And, you know, don't mean to get on that soapbox, but it just really makes me wonder that the intense efforts being made to cure this. So to go to a lighter place, this month, you're going to be talking a lot about being GLBT probably, or other people are. You just have to kind of walk around anywhere where there is a thriving GLBT community, and you will feel the impact of June, the impact of a fight, impact of a protest and a reaction that broke out in Stonewall, in the Stonewall Bar in New York, in the Village, in the summer of the late 60s. And you know, from that, we're going to have a big parade at the end of the year, and we're going to have a big fest, and Windy City Times is going to throw the big Windy City Gay Idol. And we're going to give ourselves many opportunities to sing and dance and party and hug one another and make love and bring our families out to see our diversity and our colors and have corporations want our business and think we're trendy and on point, and all that is going to happen. And then what happens on the other side of that? You know, it's how we live our lives day to day. And I really think that's the most important thing. You know, Harvey Milk received his postage stamp finally. This is something they've been trying to do for many, many years, and finally got his postage stamp with the U.S. Postal Service. And you know, and that was what he said. He said, you know, come out, be proud. Be proud of who you are. It's the most radical act we can all do, is to lend our voice, to share our experience, to share our successes, to share our hope for ourselves, our families, and our community, and our love. And so I kind of lead us off with that, you know, here at the beginning of Gay Pride Month. I'm going to have my good friend Alexandra Billings on in the upcoming shows to talk about the transgender community, and especially the controversy that's been going on around the trans community. You know, their saga, their fight is farther behind ours as gay and lesbian people. And so I always am so humbled to have her voice added to this show. Also, we're going to be, the high holidays are coming up this weekend, folks. The Tony Awards, Mitchell Fain, I'll be bringing you our recap on the Tony Awards, and we have our fingers crossed for Neil Patrick Harris, and I have my fingers crossed a little bit for Jesse Mueller, homegirl playing Carol King in Beautiful, and But it's always a great night and a great show. And Richard Knight Jr. on with us this month, Summer Movies, and we get it from a queer perspective from our queer queen at the movie, our queen at the night of the movies, Richard Knight Jr. And much, much more. Mitchell will be on with me again, and we'll be talking hopefully to our next Windy City Gay Idol. Can't believe that Maria Paul crowned last year. We will have a new idol this year and hope you all will come out. The semifinals are this coming, next weekend, June 14th at Sidetrack Bar in the afternoon, 2 o'clock doors, 3 o'clock start. It's only $10 to get in, and somebody's going to win a trip to Curacao. And I mean, somebody in the audience. You don't have to do anything more than be there to vote for your favorites. And then the top 12 will compete on June 25th. That's a Wednesday in between Pride Fest and the Pride Parade. That Wednesday right in the middle of Pride Week at Main Stage, 6 o'clock doors, 7 o'clock start. And we'll have tickets on sale for that here in about 10 days. So guys, there is so much going on. Today on our show, Andrew Volkoff, the new artistic director of About Face Theater. He's been here for about a year, starting this month. And they are doing a Pride reading series, performance reading series. They're kicking it off tonight, June 2nd. And Michael Urie from Ugly Betty, and also the star of Buyer and Seller, doing the fabulous show downtown at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower about Barbra Streisand's basement stores. Michael Urie is in the reading tonight along with Scott Duff, our very own favorite Scott Duff co-host, and Scott Bradley, who created We Three Lizas and the Scooty and JoJo show, and lots of others are going to be a part of the reading tonight. There are readings throughout this month, and Andrew's here to tell us about them. Just little one-nights of many of the different stories we have to tell in our community. So I'm thrilled to have Andrew on for the first time to welcome him to you all, even though we've covered About Face shows in the past year. We've not had an opportunity to have Andrew on the show. Also, what's going on in the GLBT news and other theater and much, much more. So I am proud to be with you, proud for the upcoming shows, and hope you will go out there and be proud too. So let me fill you up a little bit on this Queercast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. LGBT youth and adults and allies delivered more than 125,000 petition signatures to online retail giant Amazon at the company's headquarters in Seattle. 17-year-old Pascal Tessier, one of the first open gay Eagle Scouts, started the petition with Scouts for Equality in support of ousted gay scoutmaster Jeff McGrath. He is asking Amazon to suspend its financial support of the Boy Scouts of America until the organization lifts its ban on LGBT adults in leadership positions.
The six same-sex couples who sued Florida back in January are asking a state court to rule that the ban on marriage equality is unconstitutional. They will have their day in court July 2nd in Miami. The couple's motion claims that Florida's marriage ban cannot stand in light of last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act violates the federal constitutional guarantees of equal protection and due process.
Lesbian Caitlin Cahill has been appointed to President Obama's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition. Cahill was a member of the United States women's national ice hockey team from 2005 to 2013. Cahill received an AB from Harvard University and a JD from Boston College Law School.
The U.S. Postal Service dedicated a stamp to Harvey Milk, one of the nation's first openly gay elected officials, in a White House ceremony. Milk would have been 84 years old on May 22nd, the day of the White House event.
Chipotle delivered a controversy-stoking double whammy by running a new ad supporting LGBT equality and taking a stance against gun-toting customers. Following a demonstration from members of the pro-gun Texas group Open Carry Tarrant County, the fast food chain issued a statement requesting the customers refrain from bringing guns into its restaurants. The company has also released a new ad supporting LGBT equality that reads, "Homo estás?"
Barely a year after finally approving an official LGBT student organization, the University of Notre Dame has stepped to the forefront of the movement to assure respect for gay athletes. Motivated by two gay Notre Dame athletes who wanted to increase acceptance on campus, the university's athletic department released a two-minute video voicing support for the You Can Play project, which advocates equality and respect for all athletes. Representatives from all 26 of the school's sports teams participated in the effort.
A California man convicted of orchestrating the 2008 gang rape of a woman who was targeted in part because she is a lesbian has been sentenced to more than 400 years in prison. Humberto Salvador, 36, of Richmond, California, was found guilty on 14 felony counts ranging from carjacking, kidnapping, rape, and a wide range of other sexual assaults. The jury's verdicts included hate crime enhancement because of the role the victim's sexual orientation played in the attack.
New research conducted by scholars at the William Institute, UCLA School of Law, estimates that nearly 150,000 transgender individuals have served in the U.S. Armed Forces or are currently on active duty. In addition, an estimated 134,000 transgender individuals are veterans or retired from Guard or Reserve service.
San Francisco Catholic Sacred Heart Cathedral Preparatory has agreed to reprint its yearbook after administrators removed the graduation photo of a female student who wore a tuxedo. The school was widely criticized after Jessica Urbina's portrait was yanked from yearbooks, with students rallying behind her. The school responded with a lengthy apology.
Former U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said during his term as Boy Scouts of America president, he wouldn't press for an end to the group's ban on gay adult leaders for fear of causing permanent damage to the century-old organization. Gates, who helped end Don't Ask, Don't Tell while he was defense secretary, said he strongly supported the Boy Scouts' vote to lift its ban on gay youth members. He also said he personally supported going further, but would oppose efforts to reopen the issue in his 2 years as president.
Voters in Pocatello, Idaho, handed gay rights advocates a narrow victory when they rejected a ballot referendum to overturn the city's LGBT-inclusive non-discrimination ordinance. Pocatello residents voted to keep the anti-discrimination ordinance by a margin of 147 votes. Pocatello is one of seven Idaho cities where city leaders have adopted local ordinances barring employers, landlords, and most businesses from discriminating on basis of sexual orientation and gender identity.
Waveland, Mississippi City Council has passed an anti-discrimination resolution recognizing the dignity and worth of all city residents, including LGBT individuals. Waveland joins the Mississippi cities of Starkville, Hattiesburg, Greenville, Magnolia, Bay, St. Louis, and Oxford in passing anti-discrimination votes.
Iconic LGBT rights activist Stormé DeLaverie passed away May 25th. Most claim that DeLaverie probably threw the first punch in the Stonewall riot that sparked gay rights. She was also part of the Jewel Box Review, arguably the country's first gay community, which was a traveling troupe of impersonators that originally formed in 1939.
In Kansas, the Topeka City Council approved two measures aimed at reducing discrimination against LGBT people. The council approved establishing a city domestic partnership registry for same-sex and opposite-sex couples who are not married. It also okayed an ordinance that would ban the city from discriminating in employment and hiring based on gender identity.
In world news, Africa has elected its first black gay member of parliament. Zakhele Mhele, a member of the opposition Democratic Alliance, was sworn into the South African National Assembly. The 29-year-old is also the second ever gay MP or member of parliament in an African government, following UK-born Mike Waters' first appointment in South Africa in 1999.
Canada has refused to issue visitor visas to 10 Ugandan activists invited to Toronto's World Pride Human Rights Conference in June over concerns that they would stay to seek asylum. Gay rights advocates say the decisions by the Canadian visa posts in Nairobi and London speak to the hypocrisy of the government, which in February joined other Western nations in condemning Uganda for passing one of the world's harshest anti-homosexuality laws. The 10 men and women are among 160 speakers and 400 delegates from more than 40 countries invited to the June 25th through 27th conference.
The marriage of a lesbian couple who held a widely reported unofficial wedding in Kazakhstan last year has ended in tragedy after one of the women was brutally killed and her partner detained on suspicion of murder. Christina Chernysheva was known to have been missing at the end of March, but was later found dead. Three women are being held in relation to the death, including the victim's partner.
Visiting same-sex couples who have officially and legally married in any of 20 countries will not have their union recognized in Panama. Panama's official Gazette posting of Act 7 of 8, May 2014, the Code of Private International Law of the Republic of Panama, specifies that national authorities do not recognize formal same-sex unions.
In entertainment news, RuPaul has responded to the controversy surrounding the word tranny, as well as the use of she-male on popular reality television show RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul said that he loves the word tranny, and don't you dare tell me what I can do or say. It's just words. When said that some may be offended, RuPaul replied, no, it is not the transsexual community. These are fringe people who are looking for storylines to strengthen their identity as victims.
Dolly Parton has added a career milestone to her long list of accomplishments. Blue Smoke, her 42nd studio work, is her highest charting solo album ever, debuting at number 2 on the Billboard Country and number 6 on the Billboard Top 200 charts. Parton amazingly has only visited the top 10 of the Billboard 200 once, with the 1987 collaboration trio with Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt.
A former CNN employee who claims he was fired for being too flamboyant has filed a $60 million discrimination lawsuit against the network. William Kane, a microphone technician who began working at CNN in 2002, is claiming that his supervisor, who cited Kane's colorful wardrobe as a reason for termination, fired him last June only after he discovered Kane is gay.
The WNBA is kicking off a campaign to market specifically to the LGBT community, a development that makes it the first pro league to specifically recruit LGBT fans to its games. The effort includes having teams participate in local pride festivals and parades, working with advocacy groups to raise awareness of inclusion through grassroots events, and advertising with lesbian media. Also, a nationally televised pride game will take place between Tulsa and Chicago Sunday, June 22nd.
The feature-length documentary, Back on Board, Greg Louganis, will make its world premiere at the AFI Docs Film Festival on June 20th at the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery. Back on Board is an intimate present-day portrait of the private struggles and public triumphs of openly gay Olympic champion Greg Louganis. The filmmakers have been working closely with Louganis since 2011.
Artist and photographer David LaChapelle has been targeted by far right-wing groups for the posters he created for this year's Life Ball. The poster, displayed in Vienna, has two images of transgender model Carmen Carrera naked in a garden with alternately female and male genitalia. "I am Adam, I am Eve, I am me," reads a tagline. Organizers said the artwork celebrates the HIV/AIDS benefits 2014 theme, The Garden of Earthly Delights.
Violinist and mezzo-soprano Tona Brown will become the first African-American transgender performer to take the stage at Carnegie Hall when she does so in June. Brown's performance will feature music from her debut album, This Is Who I Am, a tribute to African-American composers.
A Chicago gay bar was named among the top 10 sports bars in the city by USA Today. Crew Bar and Grill, located in Chicago's uptown neighborhood, is an LGBT bar that came in at number 7. West End Bar and Grill, number 1, with Joe's on Weed Street and Cubby Bear Lounge also on the list.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Daphne Rubin Vega, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 2nd, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Experience a brand new musical coming to life with soaring melodies paired with poignant and witty lyrics. Days Like Today explores what it takes to maintain a relationship in a world where love sometimes seems impossible. Now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago and the Edens Room Metro. To purchase tickets to Days Like Today, visit writerstheater.org.
Tennessee Williams came to New Orleans in 1938 to start his career as a writer and his life as a gay man. See his autobiographical play, View Carré, at Raven Theater in Edgewater. For tickets to View Carré, visit raventheater.com. Playing now through June 28th.
Court Theater is now presenting M. Butterfly, the winner of a Tony Award for Best Drama, directed by Charles Newell. See the play Chicago Magazine called a gripping revival. Tickets for M. Butterfly are available at courttheater.org.
Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. The hilarious cult hit comedy asks all attendees of its 1956 church basement quiche breakfast to always respect the egg. Don't miss the play that won Best Overall Production at the New York International Film Festival. Playing now at the Chopin Theater. Buy tickets at FiveLesbiansEatingAQuiche.com.
Profiles Theater has extended their smash hit production of Cock by Mike Bartlett for the last time. Cock is now playing through June 29th only. Critics across Chicago have highly recommended this explosive comedy, including rave reviews from the Tribune, Sun-Times, and Windy City Times. For tickets and info on Cock, visit profilestheater.org.
Juno is a treasure. Discover it, says the Chicago Sun-Times about Timeline Theater's Chicago musical premiere based on the celebrated Irish play Juno and the Paycock. It's hugely entertaining, declares the Daily Herald. And Windy City Times raves, we can only rejoice at the talent, care, and passion poured into this rare production. Visit TimelineTheater.com. Don't wait to get tickets to see Juno. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment. Let me see you move.
You officially know it's Pride. We are now into our June podcasts, our June Queercasts. And, you know, one of the exciting things that happens around this time of summer is just all these special, unique events centered around Pride, centered around our community, and just really fun things that you're like, I want to go do something and be amongst gay people and hearing our stories. What do I want to do tonight? Well, About Face Theater has launched their Pride Performance Series, which is running through the month of June for Pride Month. It's a celebration of this month here in Chicago and theater and stories and performance. And I'm just so excited because having his first visit on our Windy City Careercast is the 1 year. He served now 1 year heading into his second year as the artistic director of About Face Theater, Andrew Volkoff. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Hey, Amy, it's good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you. You know, we had the pleasure of talking with Fazia, who just did your hit show, which was your, you directed her in this fantastic one woman Hijra Fantasia.
It's kind of hard to describe, right?
Yeah.
It was definitely a tour de force performance. Fazia is just ridiculously talented. So,
well, and it was interesting too that you showed kind of your mark on stories of diversity. It was a trans story or gender identity story. Working with Silk Road and working in collaboration with another kind of targeted mission statement theater company. That was all very exciting for you to kind of launch your directorial debut here.
It was super exciting. I mean, I think I never thought that in my first year I'd be able to pull off a co-production, but we did it. And, you know, it was one of those rare opportunities where you've got two very visible theaters with very clear-cut missions. And mm-hmm. so having an opportunity for those two theaters to come together on one show that doesn't create mission drift in either organization,
yeah.
we just jumped at the chance to, like, have a time to work together.
Yeah.
So it worked out really well. They're super guys. You know, it was great to introduce our audiences to a different viewpoint, culture,
yeah.
You know, what have you. And it was great, too, for the Silk Road audience, I imagine, to be introduced to the politics of gender identity.
Absolutely.
So,
well, you're going to be introducing a lot of other news stories. And one of the things I love and why I was excited and said, hey, Andrew, let's talk around this as opposed to just talking around one show, you and I, this Pride performance series that you've put together, this lineup of readings and events throughout June. That's really for the queer community. And we launched this podcast on Monday morning. So hopefully if you downloaded or upload your podcast immediately, you can maybe even hit the very first event, which is tonight, Monday, June 2nd at the Greenhouse Theater. I know you're excited about this. Not only are you directing, but you have the fabulous Michael Urie, who happens to be in town with Buyer and Seller, as one of your leads in the reading. Tell me about the last Sunday in June, which is premiering tonight, June 2nd.
Well, I think the last Sunday in June is one of those, quote unquote gay plays that was seminal at the time it was written, written back in 2003. I think it was written at a point when the gay and lesbian community was beginning to look at how far they'd come and how they were going to begin to redefine themselves. What kind of relationships were they going to have? Did the old rules still apply to their lives and their loves and their friendships? Kind of like The Boys in the Band and Angels in America, this is one of those plays that kind of marks a turning point, I think, in gay and lesbian life. And so to kind of pick it up now, 10 years later, when so much amazing stuff is going on in the gay and lesbian community, especially here in Illinois, you know, as of June 1st, we'll all be able to get married if we want
That's right.
Which is amazeballs. And, you know, we just got Laverne Cox on the cover of Time magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
You know, trans issues are coming to the fore. It's like there's a whole nother wave of change and discussion and everything changing in the gay and lesbian community. So I thought it would be really interesting to kind of take a look at this piece, both as an opportunity to look backwards as well as forwards. So it's a great piece. We have a superb cast put together, of course, highlighted by Michael Urie, who's a dear, dear friend of mine. I gave him his first professional job. Can you stand it?
I love him. Michael Urie was on Ugly Betty, and he's had a number of shows now where he's gotten huge accolades on Broadway and off-Broadway and has been here in town doing Buyer and Seller for a number of weeks.
Which is a scream. And I'm going to just plug that show too, because it's like,
yep.
It is just funny. I mean, it is just laugh out loud funny and lovely and heartwarming. And he does a brilliant job in it. So we're really lucky to have him be a part of this.
You're also going to have Scott Bradley and one of our co-hosts, Scott Duff, as well.
You beat me to it.
It's like
we've
got
a whole.
I'm so excited.
We've got a real, I know that the artistic associate crew that we've got here at About Face is incredibly strong in terms of acting, directing, writing, everything. And it's always wonderful when we're able to kind of showcase the ridiculously talented people we have that make up About Face.
So these tickets are really, really affordable. It's just like $20 if you want to go to the one tonight, if you rush. It's at 7:30 at the Greenhouse Theater. And I know, I'm sure the AboutFaceTheater.com website will have linked in our show notes, has all these details on all the events. Now, you've got
it
something.
It certainly does.
You've got something for the lesbians as well, and you're also kind of collaborating in a part with Pivot Arts Festival in Edgewater for your next event.
Yes, which is really exciting. Again, it's like people are coming out of the woodwork to collaborate with us. And Julianne Ayer, who's the head of the Pivot Arts Festival, contacted me earlier in the year to see if we would be interested in doing something in the Pivot Arts Festival. And one of our artistic associates, Paula Glee-Stovall, has been fascinated by the topic of lesbians in literature. Once he discovered the Little Press back in Paris, which was run by a lesbian couple, who were instrumental in getting James Joyce's Ulysses published. And he was fascinated by the fact that, like, they've essentially been kind of erased from history. A friend of his, who's a playwright, Marilyn Campbell, has this extensive breadth of knowledge around that, and we thought it would be really kind of fascinating to take a look at how lesbians have influenced art and particularly literature from that modernist period up until now. And that's happening at Uncommon Ground on Devon. I pronounced that right. Devon.
Yes. Devon.
I'm still getting used
to
that.
You're still learning all the names. We also pronounce it Gotha as opposed to Goethe, the downtown street. So we pronounce some things weird here. But that's going to be Tuesday, June 10th. So that's next week.
Correct.
At Uncommon Ground. Those are only $10 tickets.
It's only, I mean, and that's just the, I mean, we're trying to make these things, you know, accessible, affordable, and fun so that people want to, like, come out and see something different. And I think that is part of our responsibility as a theater company to kind of provide other opportunities for our audience and for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, and fabulous playwright Patricia Kane, who wrote Pulp and wrote Float, who's been on our Queercast many times. She'll be on the panel and discussion as well, which is so super. Now, you're also directing another show that even the title is one of those titles that provocative. Thank you. Abraham Lincoln Was a Faggot. By Bixby Elliott. Is this a new play? Tell me about this play, and is it obviously about what the title says?
It is exactly about what the title says. I think it's, it's a wonderful piece. Bixby Elliott is a cohort of mine from back when I lived in New York City, a fantastic playwright out of the Columbia University program, who wrote this play. And I saw a reading of it, I think, like 2 years ago, and just found it was just irreverent, funny, thought-provoking, everything you want out of a play. And I think what's really kind of magnificent about it is it takes that idea of, like, what would it mean to the world, but particularly to our young people, if they had a role model of the stature of Abraham Lincoln to look up to. How would that affect them? How would that affect us? How would that begin to affect the gay and lesbian community with that kind of, cachet of a gay president? And one of the most well-loved.
And the great emancipator for African American community and everything else. And for those of us in Illinois, you know, land of Lincoln. So,
which was another thought behind programming this. So, yes, it was like clearly doing this in the land of Lincoln made a lot of sense. And that's actually going to showcase one of our other artistic associates, Ben Sprunger, as Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, how great. Benji. Benjamin Sprunger. Everybody knows Benjamin Sprunger from The Pride and from The Homosexuals, all these shows that we've featured here on the show. So that's amazing. And that's going to be when? When is that show?
That's going to be Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th. Okay. We wanted, it's going to be kind of a workshop / reading of it. So Bixby Elliott will be in town. He'll be doing talkbacks after the show, okay, as will Jonathan Collins. I forgot to mention that. Jonathan is flying in for last Sunday in June.
So we've
got both of our playwrights in town to talk with the audience afterwards about their feelings about the play. So,
I will tell you, I am 1 degree separation from Abraham Lincoln because I am a Todd. I am related to Mary Todd.
You're joking.
I am not. And I resemble the fact that she's crazy. No. I'm sure you probably even describe her as crazy as everybody else does, but I think she is a misunderstood woman, but I have to think that because my name was going to be Todd if I was a boy, because we're Todds, we're family named Todd. So
I think that's awesome.
It's pretty cool, right?
I think
that's
absolutely amazing.
I think so too. Especially after I saw Sally Field do what she did in Lincoln, I was like, okay, maybe she's redeemed her a bit, you know, because I mean, she's on the edge,
she
but
did.
She's under a lot of pressure. She lost her child and she's at a war and, you know, they're in a war and her husband is in danger and peril. I mean, it would drive a person crazy, as Stephen Sondheim said. So there you go.
And that's happening at Chicago Dramatists.
Great.
So we're kind of spreading ourselves all over the city this time around.
And they're a great place for new work. And obviously did the kid thing with Sarah Gubbins when about phase
exactly,
produced
that. Exactly.
Actually,
they were the folks who hosted our season announcement last year. It was a gift from them to us as kind of a welcome to Chicago to just kind of host us for that.
Yeah.
So I have very warm feelings for the people at Chicago.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic, especially for new work here in Chicago. Now, the other reading that you're going to be doing is Tuesday, June 17th. So it's nice. This is like kind of 3 weeks. You can see a reading a week or go to an event a week at least if you'd like. You have this event Tuesday, June 17th at American Theater Company called Methtacular, written and starring Stephen Stratford. So this is a one-man show. Is this a kind of a memoir piece or an autobiographical piece about his relationship to meth?
Yes, it is. It's kind of...
timely. Nobody's done this. This is, I mean, amazing. I love this.
I mean, and the great thing is it's like he uses, similarly to Bromany, the way Bromany used humor to kind of begin to open up doors about a topic and a world that a lot of people don't know about. Stephen does a beautiful job of weaving together humor and stories and songs and stories about the facts of life and Mrs. Garrett into his history of a 3-year crystal meth addict here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's a Chicago story by a Chicago playwright. And he does a beautiful job of weaving together both the humor and the pathos so that it's not just a romp through the years of his meth addiction. It does help you understand how a person can get to that place. But, you know, you'll enjoy yourself along the way. It's ridiculously funny.
Well, you know, it's ridiculously funny, and thank God for humor, though, to go to something that's not funny, you know, and that's kind of, I think, the healing and hopeful aspect is that somebody can come through this, because crystal meth and meth is just such a huge epidemic within the men's community, especially, and
particularly
it's big here in Chicago. I mean, big cities.
That's what I understand. I mean, as somebody who's just a recent transplant, I thought it was primarily a New York or an LA problem, but it's interesting to know that, you know, wherever there is kind of like a large gay population, there seems to be a lot of crystal meth addiction that goes with that.
Yeah.
It is. I think you kind of hit the nail right on the head, Amy, with humor kind of not only allows you to talk about the subject, but it allows you to begin to heal about really kind of weighty subjects. He does a beautiful job of welcoming people into the world that he, you know, fell down the rabbit hole into. Brings you out the other side, kind of feeling like, you know something? If he can make it through that, I've got, you know, I can make it through any sort of bump in my life. And it also allows you to kind of empathize and understand that, like, this can happen. Addiction of any sort, frankly, can happen to anybody. But, you know, he does it with such grace and humor and warmth that you're just left kind of floating out the theater. So it was a huge hit at the New York Fringe Festival. So we're excited to be bringing it here to Chicago. I think it also went to Edinburgh as well. So it's got a nice little pedigree behind it. So.
Nice. Well, now, what are you most excited about when you look to... look to programming for next year, because, you will be announcing here either in June or July, kind of what will be, what you'll be looking toward for your next season. And after this first year and where the state of things are in theater in Chicago and people, what are you kind of excited about? Not specific plays, but what are you looking forward to leaning into next year?
Well, I think what I'm really excited about is to continue to bring new work to the Chicago community. That's been kind of like what I've cut my teeth on as a director and as administrator. And also with so much change going on in our community, I'm really interested in trying to find many different ways to get as many different points of view on our stage as possible. Always a challenge when you only have like three slots to program into.
Right. Sure.
It's there's so much work being done out there, and there are so many voices that need to be heard. I just hope that I can begin to bring more and more of them to Chicago audiences so that people can see the incredible complexity and depth and breadth of our community.
And what's been your favorite thing your first year living here in Chicago? It doesn't have to be about theater. It can be anything. But what have been some of your favorite things about this city and discovering it in its your first year?
Everybody is just so friendly. I mean, it's like, you know, I've felt so welcomed here. It's been magnificent. It's not like, you know, people are cold and heartless in New York City, but I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Milwaukee. So it's been great to kind of have a homecoming here and begin to actually feel like I'm making a home here. I can actually afford to rent an apartment here, Amy. That's a minor miracle all on its own. The people have been stupendous, both in the theater community and just Chicagoans in general. I love living this close to the lake. I live up in Edgewater, so it's been glorious just to be able on beautiful days like today to walk down to the lake and just be with it. It's something I never got to do when I was in Milwaukee. We just lived a little too far away from it. So, and it's also been nice to be able to go back and visit my parents a little more. You know, it's a luxury I was not afforded when I lived in New York. So there's been lots of great stuff in addition to running About Face and getting it ready for its next chapter. So,
Well, it's all so exciting, and we're just so grateful too, about Face for giving us so many things to put on our calendars for the month of June. It's a big month. And honestly, guys, if any of you are sitting on your couch, what are you doing? Like, there's a place you can be for $20 or less, or for free, many things around the city. You know, just get out and be a part of the GLBTQ community during this month. And there's just so many offerings about Faces. One option of things that you can do this month. And we're going to be telling you about some others, you know, throughout this show and the upcoming shows. I know that we have our big Windy City Gay Idol semifinals coming up on June 15th. That'll be
so
after.
Fun. I got to be a judge for that, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So much fun. Sorry, I misspoke. It's June 14th. It's a Saturday. It's Saturday afternoon at Sidetrack. What could be better? And you can come to our thing, and then you can run over and go see the Abraham Lincoln. You can make it in time. Because we're done at 6 o'clock. We have to. The bar gets too crowded by then. We've already got five. We got to get our 500 people either out of there or shoved into other parts of the bar. And then our big finals coming up June 25th. So Scott Duff and me and Sophia Sapphire will all be there. And yeah, we're right smack dab in the middle at main stage there in the middle of Pride Fest and Pride Parade again this year. And that was a line around the door last year. We had to hold the curtain, so to speak. So super, super excited about that.
Well, I will certainly see you there. I mean,
yes.
that was amazing. So
yeah,
you know,
awful fun.
Yeah.
And I am going to be at the first event this evening. Once again, that's going to be at the Greenhouse Theater at 7:30. The reading tonight, $20 tickets. I'm sure you can get them at the door or buy them in advance. But if you're hearing this, you probably need to dash to the door. and then you can get tickets to the other events. Go to aboutfacetheater.org, and you can even get a pass, and you can go to all the events for one.
We do. We have a series pass that saves you 20% when you purchase it. So
that's fantastic.
A 20% discount for all four events,
that's
which
amazing.
Is again, like you said, why are you sitting on your couch?
Why are you sitting on your couch? I want to see all of these shows, so I probably will be there. So just come and say hi to me. Andrew Volkoff, thank you so much for being on. We look forward to what else About Face is going to be doing, and we're so glad to have you, particularly a part of our community now. And thanks for coming on to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Amy. I really appreciate it.
And you can get more information on the Pride Performance Series at aboutfacetheater.com or click on the link in our show notes.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everybody, happy Pride. Have a great, great weekend. Enjoy the Tony Awards this weekend. Be sure to throw your Tony party. And Mitchell and I will recap. Alexander Billings talking about the T word when we're on the next show. And Richard Knight Jr. coming up in upcoming weeks to talk to us about the summer movies. I'm off to see the X-Men finally tonight. So I'm pretty excited. Or not tonight, this afternoon. Then I'm going to the About Face reading. So maybe I'll see you there. I hope you all have a wonderful Pride Month. Once again, very proud to be a part of this community and proud to be a part of your GLBT listening and entertainment and news. So thank you for downloading us. And tell a friend about us. That's one thing you can do this Pride Month is spread the message on Facebook or on Twitter or email or tell your friends, hey, do you listen to the Windy City Queercast? We'd love to have new listeners all the time. So thank you so much. Have a great week. And I'll be back with Alex and Mitchell and Richard Knight Jr. in the upcoming shows. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. That's so good. That's so good.